somehow you gotta get it into that door. You can bring it through the door, you can have a lawyer come to it. I went the least expensive by trying to.
Are we ready? Okay, good evening. It's now 5:30 and it's time to start the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee. And I see we have a nice crowd here tonight, which we did not have the last time. So welcome, all of you. If I may have the roll call, please.
Chairperson Hanneman.
Here.
Vice Chair Lapeer.
Here.
Member Bagwell.
Here.
Commissioner Wickstead.
Here.
Commissioner Shuck. Commissioner Malay?
Here.
Commissioner Cardinal? Okay, absent. A quorum's present, I'm sorry.
Thank you. So the first order of business tonight is public comment. So anyone who wishes to make a public comment, please come forth now and sign in. Okay, seeing none, this is very unusual. We will go on to the next item, which is item number 4, the approval of minutes for May 2nd, 2016. So has everybody read the minutes? And okay, so.
Move for approval of the minutes of May 2nd, 2016.
So, I'll second that.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Okay, and moving on to 5.1 for possible action to elect a RAC chair and vice chair for 2016, and I will entertain nominations at this time. Okay, nominations, please.
Well, the policy allows for 2 years, and since we've changed to quarterly meetings, do we want to just go with Ronnie again as the chairman and you as the vice chair until we hit our second year?
I second that.
Motion.
Okay.
Okay, so the motion is for you and me, kid. And all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Then I will be chairing this meeting tonight. Thank you very much for your confidence. So we go on to 5.2 now for possible action to prioritize and recommend to the Redevelopment Authority the approval of the expenditure of up to $143,472 for facade improvements for various properties within the redevelopment district. This is turning over to you, Lee, please.
Thank you. Good evening. For the record, Lee Plemmel, Community Development Director. You had many of these applications. We had this on the agenda for your at your last meeting in May, as you know. So a lot of this information is new, but I think I'd just like to start with a brief overview of the program for those in the audience or those watching, and then I'll get into the details of the applications that we have before you tonight. Again, this is the Facade Improvement Grant Program, which. So there's certain requirements of it. There's a resolution. It's attached in the packet, of course, for more details. It does apply to all commercial properties within both redevelopment areas 1 and 2, together known as the redevelopment district. The maximum funding per parcel is $25,000. That would be a maximum, and it's the city can pay up to only 50% of the actual cost of the facade improvements. We'll have a little bit of discussion about permitted improvements, all exterior facade and sign improvements. I think at this time I'll note that there is an attachment with an email that's part of the packet from a supervisor that has some thoughts on what his interpretation of this was. And tonight we have District Attorney Jason Woodbury representing us, so he can help with this as well. But generally speaking, you have the plain language of the policy that's before you, which is for your interpretation, for your use and interpretation. Some others may interpret it differently, but it's our belief that as it went through, particularly with regards to signs, that the policy states that all exterior facade and sign improvements are eligible. All exterior facade improvements and all sign improvements are eligible. There was no discussion through the process at RAC as this was expanded to specifically exclude freestanding signs. So it's our position at this time that freestanding signs are a permitted improvement. We're going to be going through the applications individually, and where there's questions on policy, we can discuss that with the individual applications. I think would probably be appropriate for that. RAC does have final approval authority. You're here tonight to approve it, but there is the policy provides that your decision can be appealed to the Redevelopment Authority, who are the Board of Supervisors. I'll get into a little bit about the allocation, what we have and what we have left in the next slide, and note that we've received, let me move on at this. I've kind of covered all these other things. So moving on to the next slide, here's kind of an overview of where we've been and the applications that we have before us. So a total of $200,000 has been allocated between this current fiscal year and next fiscal year towards the program. At the last meeting, you allocated the $16,250 towards North 112 North Curry Street, which leaves in the highlighted figure there towards the bottom $183,750 remaining in available funding. Of all the applications that we have tonight, the total amount requested comes to a total of $143,472. So even if all applications were approved as requested tonight, there would still be funding going forward, which goes to the point that I was getting to, that we will continue to keep applications, continue to accept applications on a first-come, first-served basis per the process, and we'll bring them forward to RAC at future meetings as necessary. So that's the spreadsheet showing we have the 9 applications on there. As I mentioned, the 2 on the top there are the ones that were dispensed of and action taken on at the last meeting. The next 7 on the list were applications that were on your agenda last time but were deferred in order to be able to ask questions of the applicants. Since that meeting, we've received 2 additional applications from 307 North Carson Street, which is where, and it'd be the Garibaldi's restaurant facade and the West Side Poorhouse on West Telegraph Street. And so that's a general overview of the program. I think last time it was your choice to go one by one with the applications, and I'm prepared to go. I have slides for each one, and you can dispense them that way. I would suggest if you're going to do that and take them in order and take action on them, that you also take public comment with each one, but it's up to your discretion how you want to review them and then finally take action.
Great, thank you. I have a couple of questions, if I may, on your memo here of May 27th. First of all, and these are some things that were brought up to me, is who's going to inspect the work to see it conforms with the proposal?
It would be, plans are required to be submitted, so they would be signed off per the plan. So when building permit plans come in, let's say, for example, for an awning, they have to submit details of that plan, and it's going to get inspected by the building department and make sure it's installed per that. But however, in addition to that, I think for this case, it's going to be the planning department. It's probably going to be me to go out and ensure that, because paint, often for life and safety in the building department, often doesn't care what color the paint is and things like that. But so I'll probably be going out as well, because it's a requirement of the resolution and the agreement that they do all the improvements per the plans that get approved.
Okay, I think that answers that question. And then the other question that I have, and I communicated to you this afternoon, is under your first page here of the May 27th, we're talking about a public-private partnerships to retain and expand businesses in Carson City. It's under the discussion portion of it. And this is to stimulate investment in properties, improve the desirability of properties within the RAC area 1 and 2 by improving the exterior appearance of the building. There's a number of people who have not come forth for this grant because they can't match it on the other end. And I know that we have an existing sort of dollar loan program. Is there anything that we can do to stimulate others who may not have the $40,000 or the $20,000 or the $10,000 to invest in their properties through RAC? I don't know. So that's something I just want to bring out that has been brought forth.
And what the chairperson is referring to is the NRS requires all redevelopment authorities to have a revolving loan fund account. So we have a revolving, we've met that requirement by creating the account, but we have not established a program to fund that and issue loans. And I think that could be something in the future that RAC looks at if this alone isn't successful, if that's what you're implying to do.
That. Yeah, that's what I'm implying, because some businesses cannot get loans to do the match, and that's the big problem. Like, for example, Jeanette Kelly's property, you know, I mean, that's probably the worst property in the city right now. Sorry, Jeanette, if you're watching, but I don't think she could afford, you know, to do the $75,000 with the match, so that's rather important. And then the other question before I open it up further is, you have here about the required property owner matching funds. And let me see if this is the one. That they would be the ones in the end that would be responsible for any default. Now, some of the businesses, some of them are not property owners. They are businesses who are fronting the money. So how is that going to work?
What provision are you referring to? So again,
the required property owners matching funds, and it talks about. Wait a minute, is this? Anybody want to weigh in?
I had a concern about that as well. I want to make sure that the property owner at least has given written approval to the tenant to be able to do improvements to the building if we have tenants come forward. But it was my understanding that only property owners could come forward and not tenants.
Property owners have signed all of the applications, so they've approved the applications that are being submitted.
However, they are the ones in the end who were responsible for anything, are they not? Or
I'm not sure what responsible for what. In the end, so part of it is maybe you're referring to, so one of the requirements is that the property cannot be sold within 1 year. And if it is sold with 1 year, then the cost has to be paid back. That's a lien on the property. So yes, I think the property owner is accepting that responsibility and agreeing to that. But in terms of taking on any, I don't know what other liability would be out there, because we're not going to reimburse them any funds unless the work's done and paid for.
Okay, the paragraph to which I'm referring says the property owner, not the business, shall pay a minimum of 50% of the total project costs. So I guess maybe we can make that the business owner, however, but I mean, it does state property owner, so I just wanted to clarify that.
Sorry, that clarifies, yes, it's we don't care who the money comes from as long as it's...
Okay, then, all right.
That brings up a point. If the tenant is flush and he puts up the half of the money required, then or all of the money required, and the city would not give that money back to the owner. The city then would give it back to the tenant.
The city's going to reimburse the person who paid for the approved improvements.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think technically we can just put business owner there. That makes it clearer, I think. You know, you've got the DA beside you, so we can weigh in on this.
Yeah, I think you've made a clear enough record that, that Lee can understand that you intend for the person to be reimbursed who actually pays for the improvements.
Okay, thank you so much. And now we will go forth with the applicants and what we will, or is there any other feedback?
Oh,
okay.
Getting it from his phone.
Oh, his phone? Put your phone away. Okay, so we will start off with 318 North Carson Street. And if you will come up and give us your spiel. And I think I'd like to say that most of us have really looked at this pretty closely. So if you can just do an overview, that would be great.
Sure. Well, my name is Jeff Shaheen. I'm a member of Shaheen Beach and Builders. We own the property and are tenants in the property. You know, I'm here to answer any questions that you may have specifically about our application. We intend to come in and put new awnings on the building front and back, repaint the building front and back, reseal the brick on the front. On the rear of the building, which is the Curry Street elevation, we would like to come in and take off the old trim that's water damaged, the siding, replace the portions of siding that need to be redone. We also intend to come in and put new electrical lighting fixtures up, both front and back, lighting up underneath the awnings. So that's the scope of the work that we're looking to have done.
Okay, your plans are there. And I noticed that you're going to have three awnings on the bottom instead of the one across where the Mystic restaurant is right now?
On the front of the building, the Carson Street side, there would be two awnings. One on either side of the front entry. On the rear of the building, all three awnings would be replaced. The frames would stay, but new canvas.
Does anybody want to weigh in on this proposal?
Just more of a question. Can you tell me what the useful life is on awnings?
That's a tough one for me to answer. The awnings on the rear of the building have been up there for about approximately 20 years.
20?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And what color are you going to paint the building?
In our submittal package, we had submitted our proposed colors.
Okay, any other comments here?
Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. And I want to apologize right up front. If I have to run out, if I get a coughing spill, I'm going to run out that door. Anyway, I'm fighting a cold for a little over a week now. So in our last meeting, we grappled with this bid process, because in the program it says each project needs three bids, competing bids. And with somebody like yourself and Mr. Piccolo, the thought is that you aren't going to get another contractor to submit you a bid, knowing that he wouldn't probably get the work anyway.
Correct.
What is, in your opinion, what's the fair way to handle this? I mean, later in this program, Mark did bid on another job. He wasn't the highest bidder, but he wasn't the lowest bidder. So right off, that tells me there's a possibility that your bids could be higher than possibly somebody else. Is there some equitable way to say, okay, and it looks like you have left out any kind of markup or overhead on this, and that was what was in my mind first, that as long as you aren't trying to make a profit off of it, I don't know what other way to go. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, you're correct. It is difficult as a general contractor. We would not get another general to bid on our work really for the reason that you've stated. We would not want to be paying markup and profit to another general, number one. Number two, we'd like to control the work that happens on our building. What I did do is, you know, my proposal is based off of subcontractor estimates, and I have three estimates from awning companies, electricians, painting company, and a quote from a lighting fixture supplier for the light fixtures that we've chosen. So that's how I based my proposal. I have copies of those if you'd like to see them in the meeting. I don't necessarily wish to enter those into public record because, you know, my subcontractors, you know, my awning company may not wish his competitors to be looking at his proposals, so.
And I think the planning department is comfortable with that process, that you do submit them to them, mm-hmm. and then the reimbursement is based on the lowest, whether you use the lowest sub. And so I just wanted to make sure if you felt that was equitable, and that and you did go through that process, and so it makes me more feel more comfortable. And I, and just for the public,
sure,
it's the perception to the public, you know, that and thank you for your comments.
Yeah, you bet. I understand you have a responsibility, and I, aside from myself and Mark LaPiccolo, I'm not sure if there's other general contractors who own properties in downtown that would be participating in this.
All right, any other comments from up here? All right, then I'll take public discussion on this particular issue.
Is that it for me?
That's it for you, sir. Thank you very much. So is there any public comment on refacing and making the property at 318 North Carson better? No? Okay, so let's go ahead and vote on this. I will entertain a motion.
I move to approve $18,218 in redevelopment facade improvement program grant funding to 318 North Carson Street, subject to the required conditions of approval in the staff memo.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, sir. Go out and get those awnings. Thank you very much. We hope it'll look amazing.
I wanted to say that I'm so pleased that he's the first one. He's going to set the standards. You're going to set the standards. Everybody now has to come up to you.
We hope to.
I hope.
All right, then. 308 North Carson Street, Carson Jewelry and Loan. So who's here representing that?
While they come up to represent this one, I will note in your packet it has been modified slightly from the last time. And noting in there, I think there was some concern noted about the awning being supported down to the sidewalk, and Mr. Schmidt went back to confirm that that can be redesigned and supported by the building so those don't come down.
Terrific. And would you state your name, please?
Yes, I'm Nisha Turek, representing Carson Jewelry and Loan, and Mark LaPiccolo is here to answer any of your questions.
Yeah. Hi.
Okay, so why don't you give us an overview?
Basically, we're going to scrape and paint, get the pressure wash, get the whole exterior in good shape. New awnings and flags on top across the, like Rob Darney. Well, he didn't even draw that, or did he? Yeah, he just shows where they'll be. There's flags across the top. We're going to put a new awning. I have a question on the why you don't want the poster. We have 20-foot wide sidewalks now. And
I'll take that one.
And it only comes out 6.
With the sidewalks, we want to keep the sidewalks unencumbered as much as we can, because
okay.
we don't know what those sidewalks are going to look like a year from now, 2 years from now. We have a lot of different entities vying for that space, and we don't want to set the precedent of pushing your awning out so far you need poles, and then everyone starts doing that,
okay.
and now it becomes a maze of having to get around those poles. I think public art's going to become a big discussion once this gets done, and the more room we have for that, the better off we are.
Okay, cool. That's a good answer.
Yeah, Mark, and just let me add real quickly. We were concerned with the encroachment. You would have to go through the planning process to get that encroachment.
Okay.
But if down the road it becomes something else. You know, pretty soon we're eating up our sidewalk.
Well, Mark just texted me Friday. He was going out of town, and he was like, oh, I made a change. I'm like, okay. So that's all I really know about that. And basically install the three barrel awnings. One projects further than the other two on the sides. And the flagpole's on top, and just clean up the whole building. And he's put in new lighting. It's going to be LED lighting on his sign. A little more energy efficient.
I have a question. Lee, do the flags conform with our signage laws?
Well, the flags, like you say, the flags aren't very easy to see in the application as to their content, but I don't think they're sign displays. So I think they would have to comply with whatever they are. But the graphics that were showing them weren't really clear, so I'm not quite sure what they were. But we'd ensure that they comply with the sign code or any other design standards for flags.
He wanted something up on top that moved and caught people's eyes so that when they came by, because when you drive by, you're going this way, and you don't see sideways, really.
Well, I think one of the issues is that we've got narrow roads right now and wider sidewalks, and you're watching the traffic and the pedestrians. We have so many pedestrian sidewalk, ways there for them to cross. That you really are not looking up. You're looking at maybe the first floor. So that was part of the concern, too. So
okay.
Anybody else want to weigh in?
Yeah, going back to my planning days, and that the whole signage and temporary signage, and to me, this appears to be a banner, a temporary flag, and so if we accept this, Lee, we could open up that whole area then to everybody wanting flags. If it was just the American and Nevada flag sticking out at 45 degrees from the building or something, I think we could all agree on that. But this almost gives the building, Mark, I think what you're doing with the rest of the building is fantastic, getting rid of that ugly tile stuff.
Yeah.
But I think this almost gives it a carnival or circus appearance and doesn't really have that old town, that downtown district look. And I think it's in conflict with our temporary signage and advertising type of flags.
So I agree. The other thing with the flags, I believe they're temporary also, and when you get the wind up there whipping through those flags, I hate to use these dollars for something that I think will have a small useful life, and that's why I even asked on the last one on the awnings, is I would rather participate on things that are going to get us 10 years and 20 years of useful life. And I think having been in the particular business before, I can tell you how quickly you're going to replace umbrellas and flags and temporary signs like that. So I like this application except for the flags.
Is this something that Mark himself can come back and talk to you guys about? Because this was his.
I'm sure he's okay with taking the flags out.
He said that if that was a problem, then he's not worried about it.
There we are.
He's okay.
Just one thing on that real fast. For me, I think it's important. We've talked a lot about theme and how we want this to look. It's important that we let people be creative and that we let them bring their own vision of what they want their building to look like and what that means, even if that is something that maybe we go, that's not my style. And for me, this doesn't bother me because it's up high.
It's real high.
It's on the roof. And from the picture that I see, there's nothing on the flags as far as for sale or jewelry or anything like that that advertises come to my business. It's more of a catch your eye. So for me, that doesn't bother me. I like that. I'm not worried that a bunch of people are going to fall in line and put flags on the top of their building. I don't think that's going to happen. So I like to see the creativity, and Mark is certainly a creative person. So he's got my yes on the flags.
Mark, if it came down, Mark, sorry.
Which Mark are we talking about?
No. I'm sorry. If you took the flags out, what is that, about $1,000 or $500 for the application? Yeah, so it would be half of that. Because I'm looking at awning and flags, and flag poles are 1,076. So
it's just that was the 1,076 was the flag poles and the flags.
Okay. Yeah. So if we took that out, then. But is there any other discussion or public discussion on the flags on top of this building? Yes.
Lee, I'm going to refer back to you. I'm having a lot of trouble with this being in conflict with the rest of the sign and ordinance. Can you give me some guidance there that why this would be not considered a temporary type banner flag? They're definitely not permanent. You know, you've come back to me, please.
Well, I think these are intended to be permanent in the sense that they're going to be left up there. And without going through the sign code in detail, there are a lot of exceptions for, and it's exceptions based on size and flags. It may be that the sign code only allows one flag per frontage, which would answer that question. And so I think if, at a minimum, I think your direction should be that they're going to need to comply with the sign code for flags, even if you do approve them as is. They have to comply and go through whatever process. But without going through the sign code and looking through all the exceptions to see what size they are, knowing the details of what size these are, I can't tell you for certain one way or the other that this would have to be modified as presented or not. But I think it's a fair point in your discussion, and as you're relating it to whether or not you want to approve it as part of this facade program, you can certainly do that. And I will ensure that even with the plans as proposed, we'll have to make sure that they comply with the flag and sign program that's approved by the city.
Yeah, because I just, balloons, you know, it's more like just sticking balloons up there or things, and we've got they can be up there 30 days out of every 90, but you know, you got to rotate them. And I as well have an issue with the mark with the I just think that they're going to get tattered, and pretty soon I don't think it'll take more than a month or two and these things will start shredding. Maybe it'll be longer than that, but you know, if they're nylon, some durable thing. But I just think we're still in conflict with our balloons and flags and banner kind of ordinances.
Well, I just want to say, first off, the flags are not my idea, so it's not my deal. If Mark's fine with no flags, then okay. But knowing Mark Schmidt, those flags would never be hanging and blowing in the wind up there, tattered.
They would.
Not going to happen. He's just not that kind of guy. They would be refreshed all the time, if that's a concern. But
yeah, it's if it's an issue with Mark, it's a non-issue.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to be.
Chris, you have a comment?
Yeah, my only comment was, first of all, I'm glad to see this application because it is at the core of the downtown. The other comment I was going to make is that this can be a part of the owner side improvements of this grant. So it doesn't preclude them from doing some flags or some creative elements. But we can say, as a RAC committee, to, you know, kind of move that over to that side. Is if that's the consensus.
So what I'm hearing here, and according to you, Lee, so if we approve this, we could say that it would the flags would have to comply with the facts. They would have to comply with the sign code. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Laura, you want to say that out loud?
We also could exclude the sign, but that doesn't stop him in his own application from doing the signs and paying 100% of it is what the issue is. So if it would pass the code and it meets the sign conditions, he could apply at the same time. We're just not going to reimburse half of it. So
okay.
Okay, that's sort of complex.
That doesn't seem right, but that's fine. I mean, now we're getting into what you like. Is this a design committee, or?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't know that.
We're not really a design committee, but we really want to keep it within. And again, I'm okay with saying that as long as it complies with the signage code. So, but as far as funding, that, Lori, you know, if we went down to 13,000 instead of 14,000, that is up to the committee. So is there any public discussion on this?
My name is Chris Carver, for the record. I'd like to suggest that the committee postpone decision on this particular one, or at least for the next meeting, and that's based on two things. Under the Carson City Development Standards 4.4.7T, changeable promotion flags are 30 consecutive days within a 90-day period, and if they're not that, then they're in excess of 30 days, one flag per building, per elevation, maximum of two flags per site. I think it was you that mentioned the carnival-type atmosphere. Part of the extensive amount of redevelopment that's going into Carson City that the taxpayers are funding to the tune of $11 million is to get not necessarily a uniform appearance, but at least an acceptable standard across the board. And this project in two veins does not meet that. The flags is one, and then the purpose for extending the awning is not clear. I didn't see the revised project plans, which apparently remove the uprights or the standards, but why are we extending this one awning on this entire block this far out into the street? For what purpose? And I don't think that was clear in the application documents that were available to the public. So
I did not see as extending further out. It was bracing it up so that they did not need, it was the same size, but they did not need the brackets.
That's not the way that I read the design, that this awning extends further out into the sidewalk, which is why it required uprights.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Lopiccolo, you want to answer that one, please?
Sure. Yeah, the way Rob Darney drew it was the center awning does extend 2 feet past the other two, well, 4 feet. Yeah, it's twice as far up. Yeah. So if you look at the side shot, there. So that's the center awning, sticks out further. And it's kind of a standard when you look at these kind of awnings, but I mean, it's another way to look at it. Rob Darney designed it.
Okay, are there any comments from up here, please? Chris?
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I don't see any issue with the shape or the dimensions of the awning. Just the question was the pole, the support pole, and it's gone now. So as long as it's gone with the final plan, that's acceptable from my side.
Craig?
Yeah, that was my concern. I think I brought this up the last time. And if it can be supported, cantilevered off the wall, you know, something where we just don't have columns encroaching on city property. It is, and in fact, it is another 6 feet out from the 4 foot. It's an overall 10 foot awning, which is large, but I don't, that doesn't concern me as much. I have a question about the budget on this one. In your summary of bid, you've got $22,470, and I'm not sure where the added cost is to get it up to $28,000 that we're providing 50% of.
Plus the ESCO sign for $58.11.60. A couple pages back is the secondary bid for the sign and lighting.
Okay, it's not included in. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't. That's what he told me on Friday. Oh, I changed it. I'm like, really? So.
Welcome, Mark.
Yeah.
I had the same question, but the accountant over here found it. So.
Yeah.
You had a question, Garrett?
Okay.
So we could take the flags off if you want. I don't care about the flags.
And I'll save it. So Mr. Carver, in looking up the code, answered, I believe, answered the question about the requirements. So if we, so there are provisions for temporary flags that are only allowed up for a certain period of time, but that's not what these are. So they have to comply with the one flag per elevation, and even those have to be under a certain size, which I'm sure these are. So it would have to comply with that anyway. It would be one, so which probably is not what they're proposing here anyway.
So
okay, so under the code 4.4 point whatever it was, so you would recommend that the flags be removed. And the other thing, if I may say something about the awnings, one of the things that you don't really want in any downtowns, you don't want to look uniform. You want to look something a little bit different. So this might work. It would be a great place to stand under when it rains, if it does rain. So we'll all congregate there, a little snow or whatever. So I don't think that that's as much of a problem. I think the signs were a little bit of an issue. Lee?
So on the awning first, they do have to be reviewed by engineer. They have to meet certain clearance standards over it. I'm not sure we call it an encroachment permit because it actually needs a building permit, but it gets reviewed for all those standards for encroaching over the right-of-way. So I wanted to, before you started throwing out numbers, if I heard correctly, if the flags are a $1,076 item, so that would come off the total project cost first, and then you take 50% of that, which would then be $13,602. Well, it's not, you don't take half of that. Well, well, I guess it's about that.
It would be about half of the cost of the flags.
Yeah, did I do my math wrong? Sorry.
Lee, I think the number for the total 28,281 is not halved at 14,135. I think that's the issue. That's just maybe a typo.
What's the bottom line here for the motion then, please?
So we could consider, if we don't want to do the sign, then we'd make the motion to approve $13,597.
Flags.
If we don't do the flags. Rest, sorry. Yes.
Just one quick clarification, Lee. I know you guys have worked hard on this, and I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Your staff has put a lot of time into this. If we approve something, let's say, for instance, the flags. We approve the flags, and it gets to the building permit, and it gets to the planning, and you guys go, hey, I know they were going to give you six flags, but you can only have one. They're only going to get one, right? And then if the money comes off of there, that money is going to come off of the bid, and it's going to come off of what they're going to get reimbursed, correct?
Correct.
So we have a fail-safe based on no matter whether we know every little inch of the building code, that city staff is going to do the job of getting building permits and doing the correct things, making sure they're meeting code.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think whoever makes this.
I'll just chime in. Yeah, nothing you're doing is going to modify any part of the code. It's not inappropriate for you to evaluate the code and to consider the code if you feel that that's a relevant thing for you to consider, but there's no precedent set as far as overruling the building or development code.
Okay, so I think the motion should include subject to the approval. Oh.
Sorry, I hate to beat this to death, but to clarify it for Mark, myself, and future applicants, Lee, is the mixed downtown mixed use district still comply with the historic downtown district? They overlap. I mean, it's within the historic district. So is there a review of any of this by the historic district? Yes, historic. Because this should be caught up front and I know you are overwhelmed, I mean, with your work right now, but is the historic society or historic group reviewing any of these?
This is not in the historic district. This property is not in the historic district. The of the of all the applications, only the Firkin and the Fox.
St. Charles.
St. Charles Hotel is the only one that's in the, and it, and that will, yes, before getting any building permits, it does require HRC approval, and I know Mark's aware of that. So they will, they'll be reviewing any applicable applications.
And one last thing I'd like to say is that I think the city staff, the way you guys are laying this out to us, is exactly how it should be laid out. There's no reason for you guys to go spend your man hours on finding out every inch of where this needs to be to come to us for us to maybe deny it. So if we approve it, then it goes down that process of getting permitted and getting up to code.
Okay, any other comments up here? Everybody weighed in? All right, so we will take a vote on... Yes, we'll take a motion first on Carson Jewelry and Loan, and in the amount of $13,597, and I will entertain a motion.
I move to approve $13,597 in redevelopment facade improvement program grant funding to 308 North Curry Street, subject to the required conditions of approval in the staff memo.
I'd like to change that to North Carson Street, please. All right, second.
I'll second it with the address change.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, so moved, unanimous.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Mr. Shriver, are you here? Yes, you are. Come on up.
Good evening. David and Robin Shriver, 210 South Carson Street.
Okay, give us your pitch.
we need props.
We need some props here.
There we go.
What you're looking at is the original site of the Pony Express in Carson, which was, this building was built in 1865, and it's been remodeled extensively and badly.
Not cohesively.
We have everything from marble tile to broken stone. We have some interesting blue tile. We have all kinds of happy things on there. The general plan is to take off the stone and the tile, replace it all with aged brick, both the uprights, and you can see the planters. They're planters, a.k.a. crash barriers that were there since the previous pawn shop. But Robin has filled them with flowers, so they look better than they did. And also where the blue tile is, the plan is to put patinaed metal up in there. Tin, something like
and
that.
Like a corrugated tin or something, an aged metal.
So we like something that looks old but still brings in some of the new aspects, ties in with downtown with some of the, we've got some really nice brick buildings on both sides of us. We'd like to tie all that in. And then the black awning there would tie in with, well, there's awnings are kind of mismatched down the street, but we'd like to do a nice black awning because we're thinking brick with the aged metal and black trim and black awning would just really be striking on the main street. And Ms. Bagwell, if I could address one of your questions. I've been sitting on the corner of 2nd Carson Street as an independent contractor and businessman for close to 20 years now. The awnings that have been on that building take a beating, and they are still there. I've not seen them come off. I think the key to the awnings on that block, especially the way the wind comes around, is how well they're mounted. And so on my bid, I only used one person that I, it was Eichelberry, I believe. I don't know if we can say that in public. But... his work that I've seen around town stays where he puts it. So that's one reason I did that, because I'm a person who doesn't want to chase it down the street.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody up here have any questions or concerns?
Pretty straightforward, I think, huh?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
That's not a lot of money.
We're new at this. This building's been sitting empty for almost a year, and we just Saturday opened it up for the wine walk, and we are doing a, we opened our own business there. It is not officially opened yet. It's an antique and vintage decor and craft store. We're tired of looking at it empty. So we've been doing a lot of stuff ourselves. Yeah, we probably will run short on the bid.
Probably.
More than likely. But, you know, it's... We've got some good people that have given us bids, and your question also about the contractors is absolutely correct. Most everybody's saying, why should I come give you a bid when I know I'm not going to get the job? So you're seeing a disparity in bids, too. I think we have about a $10,000 swing in our bids. I don't know. If we run out of money, we just keep going. We've already put a grease interceptor in. I don't know if you know that. When they tore the streets up, we put a grease interceptor
in. It was in the newspaper.
Oh, was it?
Yes, sir, it was.
I have yet to see that one.
Well, I will get it to you.
We've been going along, doing a lot of, done a lot of work already. And then we found out about the facade program. We said, well, let's try. You know, I don't know if we fit in, but we're going to try. And that's, I think we're going to have a beautiful building when we're done.
A craft market with a nice little coffee shop. That would be cool.
Don't tell June coffee shop.
No, yeah, well, whatever. Whatever. Ice cream shop.
Cheese bar.
Craig, you have a question?
No.
All right. Well, that's easy enough. Is there any public discussion on this building, which is pretty not so great? It's between second and third.
Right, so, in the middle of the block.
Yeah. It's on the side street there. And it's a small portion, so you really don't notice it. I've started noticing it more until since you talked about it, and we'll notice it even more. So
we didn't do anything with the back of the building. We will. That is in our plan to do, but we're just going to start.
That's your thing.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, I'm ready for a motion.
Great project. I move to approve $9,360 in redevelopment facade improvement program grant funding to property 210 South Carson Street in the staff memo. That was kind of short. It's subject to the required conditions of approval in the staff memo.
So.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so moved. You got your money.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, moving right on, Mr. Lopiccolo. Mark, you're back up on the docket, please. And this is on the 123 West 2nd Street, which is your real estate office.
Mark Lopiccolo.
And Jenny Lopiccolo. We're going to withdraw that.
Second Street.
We're going to withdraw it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to come back with
it. Yeah,
we ought to
do
something different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just was going for it. And
in fact, one of my comments was it's going to look sort of the same. So
there's something missing. Yeah.
So, all right. Okay, so we will withdraw that one.
Right. And we originally, I know you guys saw the original application had requested funding also for parking lot improvements. And the reason I did with that is, one, I interpreted that, I believe the wording when I read the it says maintenance. That parking lot's one of the few, you know, private off-site parking areas in that entire area. And it's a disaster at the moment. And it requires a lot of work to bring it up to standard. But what we were looking at, because we could do it a lot cheaper and just blacktop it over, what we were looking at is to try to match into the, you know, sidewalk design. It would be all pavers. It's a lot more expensive, but it will last a lot longer, require much less maintenance. And to me, that's part of the facade. I don't consider it landscaping, but I know that was a question that you had, so I thought I might bring it up tonight to see where we're going to go with that moving forward.
Okay, so we will just discard this one and wait for you to come back with that.
Okay.
You can table that.
And then do, pardon me?
Will you take public comment, though?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Public comment on this? Hearing none.
My question is, how do we earmark the money for them so that it doesn't go back into the pot and they lose it in case somebody comes up?
No, it's there.
Yeah.
We understand.
I'll turn it around.
Yeah. He'll be quick.
Sure, I'll hear about
it. He'll be at your next
And I think you really need to get with Lee as relates to what what our vision of facade is, which was not a parking lot. So it was actually the buildings. And please stay up there for the next one. So that definitely is facade. So that's Third Street, which is near and dear to my heart, as you know, Jenny. So if you, so we will go ahead and dispense with that and come back with it, Lee.
Okay.
And so we can just go on to the next one, which is Third Street. You want to go ahead and discuss that one, please?
Does he have this picture?
Yeah, they are.
It's not up.
Oh. Okay, it does. You don't have it?
Oh. Oh, okay.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, so obviously you know that Third Street's moving slowly along, and it's going to soon be the plaza. They're working really hard on it. I think this week they're going to 24/7 Q&D is to really move this forward quickly so that the tenants can get back to being in business. So part of that, we envision this particular building on 224, which goes from Pops back to Curry to the wine bar. It really needs an exterior facelift all around. You know, the siding's worn. We have definite water problems and things like that that have affected it. And so pending bank financing, we'll be constructing pretty much repairing and reconstructing the whole exterior.
So if you can, I know my drawing's kind of small for you to look at, but I'll just walk you through it. starting with the rock, across Carson Street, I want to do a wainscot all the way across Pops. Both of the posts I'm build out big because I have a water drain that they've already tied in to the storm drain for the roof in the back. That way I don't have that pipe hanging out like it used to. And I'll put heat tape, and you don't need to know about that. But that whole building will be rock on the bottom, wainscot, and new siding on the up top. And then the gable end will be all shingled. All the roof facades just on this side of the street, I want to take all that shake off, and I want to put metal roofing on it, and like corrugated, old-fashioned metal roofing, and step it, and, you know, like that. And I'll have to waterproof under it. It's just a – but anyway – where the Third Street Salon is, we're going to put rock all the way up, or maybe it might be where the ice cream store is going to be, rock all the way up. One of them is going to be rock all the way up, but I'm trying to achieve so that I can pretty much wash down, and it'll be rock to the concrete, and like we did on the front of Second Street building, we put the brick down there because the snowblowers go by and they blast it, and this way it's been there for 15 years now, and we haven't had a single problem with it. Most of the siding's getting replaced. Both those shingled gable ends with real shingles is getting put on. All new metal caps and everything on top because water's dripping down. All gets power washed and all repainted.
Signage.
I didn't address signage. So, what else? All the skinny posts that are holding up all the facades will all be built out with smart trim so that they give them a little beef. They just look like toothpicks holding the thing up. So I'm trying to, and the same thing at the wine bar on each side, those two are built out because there's an actual water drain in the middle of one of those. And what else do you want to add something? Go ahead.
I think that's it.
Do
you have questions?
You were talking about signage. This is already at 67.6 anyway,
yeah,
so it doesn't matter because
doesn't matter.
We can only go up to 25,000.
Right.
So anything after that, on your own, Jenny, on your own.
You can bet we're going to be way over 67.
I just wanted to explain because it's on the drawing. We're putting new signage and trying to coordinate the buildings but have them each unique. So we'll do, you know, different paint colors on each, but everything will tie together with the same color trim all the way across. So
no bright orange paint or anything like that.
Well, personally, I think that with all the monies being spent on McFadden Plaza, it better look really good. So
yeah.
I'm holding you to that high, whoever had that high standard. This is going to be even the highest standard. So anybody have any questions?
I see some of these posts have wraps at the bottom with rock, mm-hmm. and then some of the smaller ones. What are those going to be wrapped with, if anything?
They're just going to be wrapped with smart trim around the bottom. I have to get an inch up, but
it'd be metal poles.
And then they'll be six.
Well, they're 4 inch now, so then I'm putting 1 inch on top of it all the way around, and then another 1 inch, you know, kind of a base,
at the
just
bottom.
To make it look good. Yeah,
all the poles, all the way down.
Yeah,
all the way across.
Except for those four that are built out.
Okay,
you know, with the so.
Thank you. Looks good.
Yeah. Any other discussion?
Just one quick question. Out on the corner of the street in front of Pops, there's some sort of a memorial rock with people's yeah. names on it. What are we doing right. with that?
That's the Pony Express memorial, and that was carefully removed and preserved.
It's going
and
back.
Will be put back where it was.
Yeah.
Any other comments, Chris?
I just want to make a comment. It seems like they've put a lot of thoughtful care into putting together these improvements, and they're looking for not only design elements but robustness going forward for things that they know work. So I thank you guys for doing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, and then just remember as we go on, this is for the north side of McFadden Plaza. And, Garrett, you have something else to say?
Just one last thing I want to clarify. It doesn't really have anything to do with what you guys are doing. There's a roof that's involved with this, and the reason I'm okay with the roof and I wasn't okay with Jed Block's roof is that there's much more involved in this project. They're at $67,000 with this, and they'll be probably well over that when it's all said and done, but it's not just a roof. It's more than just a roof. That was why I said no to just the roof, so I wanted to clarify that.
Well, just to clarify, too, we took the roof itself
in the back
out of the bin.
It's gone.
This is just the facade.
When we say roof, it is just the facade. I mean, we could take it off. It doesn't need to be a roof, and so it's really decorative.
No, and that it falls under the explanation
okay.
for facade. It was just the flat roof
right,
that
right.
we were talking about.
Sure.
So any other comments from any? Yes, of course.
I just want to keep this equitable, Mark. Could you comment on my earlier comment as far as being how we handle a contractor, a general doing his own work and not having, you know, other bids?
I'm totally comfortable with showing my total cost. I'll give you guys time cards and all of it. I don't have any problem with that. I know we're going to run way over. I'm going to spend more money than I'm asking for.
The issue I think that we ran into, and as well as Jeff ran into, is that we feel we can do the best job for our own property at certainly the cheapest cost. I mean, and it wouldn't really be fair of us to ask him or him to ask us, can you just give us a courtesy bid and spend hours and hours of your time, you know, putting together a bid, and we all know who's not getting the job. So it's just, you know, it might be something that you want to look at as an exception, and I've talked to a couple of the supervisors about it because it just hadn't been in the thought process when this was all being put together. But, you know, if you're a licensed general contractor,
you're a licensed general contractor.
There's
so
no
there.
Way around it.
Okay.
You know, nobody else is going to do the work, and we're certainly not going to pay someone else to do the work, and we can do it cheaper than anybody.
And I think we all understand that. So do you have your question answered now for the last time? Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Any other questions from the commission here? Okay, if not, public comment. And hearing none, I will entertain a motion, please, to accept this.
I move to approve $25,000 in redevelopment facade improvement grant funding to, 224 South Carson Street, subject to the required conditions of approval in the staff memo.
All in favor? Well, you've got your first $25,000. Now, don't go away.
You were on this one.
All right, because now we are talking about south side of the street, which really is more the Firkin and the Fox, and I know there will be questions on this one. So if you will tell us about that.
Okay. The Firkin and Fox downstairs and then the St. Charles Hotel upstairs is the south side of the new 3rd Street Plaza, the McFadden Plaza. And just like our other building across the street, we felt has got to have a facelift to match the new look and feel of the plaza. And some of it, if you're looking, as you look at that picture right now, with the post across holding the upstairs balcony up, that was a surprise for us. So when they started, you know, digging out the deck in the street there, Mark discovers extensive damage to those posts underneath. I mean, it was a health hazard. We immediately closed off the veranda. Nobody, you know, can go up there, but we had to get that fixed immediately. The decorative part of that is still yet to come. It's not just going to be, you know, 6x6 posts. We're going to do a treatment similar to across the street where the posts are built out and crown molding and different things. And then they'll be repainted and the entire upstairs veranda fencing will be repaired and repainted as well as part of this project. We are looking at the back deck, which is very visible from 3rd Street. It currently has a very old wrought iron railing, not very substantial of a look for this type of building, and it's been painted several times, and it just can't be further maintained. So we looked into and researched a lot of different treatments for that, and also in looking at making the space underneath that available for better use by waterproofing this deck. And we found this system and got a bid on it that takes care of all of that. It looks like a really nice system. It has like a 40-year warranty on it. It won't require repainting and fixing all the time, and will be much safer. So we anticipate there might be some events on 3rd Street where they could use that extra space. So we're putting in a whole new stairway to that so that it could be accessible from 3rd Street. I think that's...
So what you're saying is the public could use that veranda?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because up until now it hasn't been, right?
No, because it's not safe.
We don't allow anybody up there. Yeah.
No, it could be, you know, for events, you know, tickets could be sold for, you know, veranda seating or those types of things for fundraisers and charity events and stuff. So it would become a more public space.
Got it. Any questions?
Jenny, when you say public space, when in your mind, what does that mean? Does that mean 7 days a week, 24/7?
No. It means for special events, you know, because there's going to be a process, right, where people apply to hold their event on 3rd Street. And if it were something where it would make sense for them to be able to make more money by selling tickets and using the deck, because you have a nice view of the stage, you know, up there, then they would just, you know, we'll put it on our calendar and we'd let our tenants know and it would be usable. But no, we don't want like anybody wandering up there all the time.
Right.
So we'll probably have some kind of little chain across it or something.
Has your tenant at the Firkin and Fox approached you about using that as dining space at all?
They have in the past, but I don't think they're looking to do that now. But they, it's just not really feasible getting up and down, you know, with food and all of that. You could put a temporary bar up there if it were a charity event or something, but I don't think they're going to be cooking and hauling food up and down.
The whole stairway has to be rebuilt. It's just, it's like that wide. You know, so I'll do it up a landing and go back up to the lower part,
So, for example, like Jazz Carson City, if it's done by the mid-August or first part of August, that would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for small parties and like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get-togethers. Yeah.
For me, I think that's awesome. I think that's perfect. And that's...
And it'll clean it up.
It definitely will clean it up.
Big time.
But I also want to make sure if we use public dollars that there's going to be public use available for that. And not just when you want to give public use.
No, I understand.
That there's going to be some things there. So
I think that any event that's going to happen down there where they expect enough people that would, you know, be a good thing for them, or they could make more money by using that, those are events we will be happy with.
Fundraisers.
Yeah.
Not going to run it out to just anybody.
Right. I think that doesn't really answer your question about the public use. And also, part of it is the insurance, too, you know, having liability insurance going up and down those stairs. Right. So,
well, obviously, we carry insurance, but any event, just like you do on any public event, even on any event on 3rd Street, the party who's putting on the function has to get a insurance writer naming the city and us and covering everything. So,
Mr. Millay, do you, once you finish coughing, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I have difficulty with this one. It's a facade program, and I think determined here that flat roofs are not part of a facade. The other issue I have with this is that we're building a stage, and I've driven down there, I've walked down there 3 or 4 times to see how much of that you can actually see, even from Curry Street. Mm-hmm. It's set back so far. So I don't see it as an improvement to the facade of the building, and to justify most of your cost is in that. The columns, I think, mm-hmm. are a wonderful part of this project. I think those need to be done. I think you got a great idea there and your veranda above it. But I'm tossed with this one on that flat roof. And then the stairwell, because there's a functioning stairwell there now. And for us to...
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Well,
it's,
I mean,
really,
for
not
for what its use is for now. I mean, mm-hmm. So to use public monies to do this project is tough for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand. I mean, we could keep it private, and even if we did keep it private, I think the whole railing system is a definite facade improvement. And that's a big part of the cost. But the railing that's there now, and I'm sure you've seen it, it is old rickety, thing that Bob found somewhere and reconstituted and made it work for there. But it's not a good look for that building. Doesn't match the front look at all of the veranda railing. So, in my mind, that's a facade improvement. Whether the underlayment that makes it waterproof and, you know, the decking part of it is something that we can keep private and not, you know, request funds for.
I haven't seen the elevation of the patio, or not patio, but the stage. Mm-hmm. It's going to be covered, correct? And
right.
And it's going to have a back on it, correct?
No. It's open air, and the cover is actually, it's a wrought iron kind of thing like that goes over it. I don't know if we
it's
have
canvas.
Any. I didn't
it
bring, and
that.
Then it's covered by canvas.
Yeah.
So it's
all
pretty, it's open. Yeah.
Okay, any other comments? Chris, do you have any concerns or comments?
I'm looking at this application, and I'm seeing mostly the the railings and the post as being the part that's definitely the facade. There's no, I don't think there's any question there. It's hard for me to say on the decking, but I mean, these guys are going to have to do a lot here, and I would say I lean toward the decking being workable considering the location, but it is very difficult to say it's part of the facade, I think.
Well, you know, like I said, we could go either way on it, because if we can make it private and we can rent it out ourselves for events, you know, to pay for it over time, and or we can, you know, do, get public money and be open to letting the public use it.
Well, Jenny, this is probably one of the most iconic buildings now since you guys remodeled it, especially since you guys remodeled it a number of years ago. It's one of the more iconic buildings in the city. I think I've got the same concern about the decking, whereas I have no concerns about the posts or the, you know, the railing and around the building. I think that's very critical, too, and that is part of the facade. So any other comments?
Lee, I'd like your direction on this, and I would like your answer on this as well. What if we did, and opened ideas here, just throwing ideas out, what if we did a minimum amount of events that you had to let open to the public throughout the year to hit the $25,000? For the reimbursement or something like that, to where my concern is you get the money and you use it privately anyways. I mean, that's that's my concern.
Lori, do you have any?
Well, you're entitled to require conditions of approval. I don't know how exactly you'd phrase that, but you could figure out a way to phrase it in terms of a minimum number of hours or days or events that were required. And the applicant could determine if that was an acceptable condition to be reimbursed the funding or not.
So then a question could be, when the city is permitting the use of Third Street with the stage, you would have to make that space available at the same time, so that it hooks the entire project that we're doing on Third Street. So if we're booking the stage in Third Street for an event, that facility has to be available within that. Is that acceptable or
no? No, I don't think so.
I would say one comment.
Who's going to police it? Who's going to stand there and make sure? I mean, I can't see it. You're scared.
Okay,
me.
I think
one caveat: you guys would have the approval to say yes or no to that. Say, I like that concert, or I like this event, I don't like that event. And, you know, at the end of the day, maybe you put that on your tenant.
I think in our mind, what we were looking at is if it were a charity event or some kind of a fundraiser for charity events.
Actually, Jenny, you know, $25,000 out of $71,254. I mean, we're only talking probably the poles. I'm looking.
Yeah. I mean, we might be above anyway. I don't know where we're at on
how
that
much
one.
Yeah, well, what I'm looking at here is your proposal, and the proposal states for everything that you have in here, it's $71,254 or whatever it's going to be. So we're really looking at only the $25,000 portion of that, which I think we have to remember. Right. So that could be the posts and the railings, and whatever you do beyond that is your thing.
We can separate that out of the bid.
Yeah, so I think that's important. Lee, do you want to weigh in on that?
No. So, I mean, to mention that we already did give our parking lot to the city to make this project happen.
Well, and the city, though, has given you a lot of money to make the project happen, too. So I think it's a two-way street. But really,
Pardon me? We didn't get any money from the city.
No, but they're doing a lot of improvements, which will help the tenants. So I think there's a lot. But that's neither here nor there. I think what we're forgetting is out of your $71,000, you know, you're talking $25,000 out of it, so all these caveats may not really apply. So any other discussion?
So is the bid from Nexon, the $21,085, that's what's the deck? So if we subtracted that, they'd still have the $50,000, which is half of $25,000. Is that correct? I just want to make sure I'm correct. That Nexon is the...
That's the decking and the rail.
And some of that is rail? Mm-hmm. So, again, even if I subtracted all of that from the $71,000, they still meet $50,000, half $25,000. So, and we just have receipts and verification. So.
Okay, any other comments here? How about public discussion?
Chris Carter for the record, and I just, I think this is a great project. We definitely need that on 3rd Street. But I'd like to point out that in 2007, $100,000 of a $1 million project, which included facade improvement and decking for the same facility, was given to the owners of the property. And we don't have a follow-up report in a public record that shows that these improvements were actually made, and some of them couldn't be made because they involved putting in landscaping on 3rd Street, which we're obviously not doing today. But I would like to see the approval process for this include a comprehensive staff report to show that these improvements were actually done, so we kind of have a roll-up for the taxpayers on what exactly city money has done to help improve this piece of property. Any questions?
I think I understand what you're saying, Mr. Carver. Had you seen, how long has this been the Firkin and the Fox when you first made all of your improvements? How long have you owned, pardon me?
They opened in 2008.
2008, okay, because I know that having seen it prior to, I can personally attest, and I think most everybody here can attest to the fact that it is an amazing building, and we saw the process from the ground up when you found the bottles of the whole bit, you know. So I don't know how the city does, you know, looks for that, but I think it was you got $100,000 out of that, and it was a $1 million project. So
I can comment on one thing on it. At that time, part of that process was that we had to prove every penny that was put into that building. Literally, I had, you know, stacks of receipts and files and every canceled check. It was pretty, you know, it was very stringent. They didn't just write us a check. So.
No, and I recognize that, and I just know what it was before to what it is today, Mr. Carver, and it is pretty amazing what it is today.
I'm sorry if that is what I implied, that we lost that money. We didn't. What I'm saying is that going forward, we talked about the deck in 2007. We're talking about it again today in 2016. I would like to not have this discussion in 10 more years or 7 more years. So let's kind of do some responsible action and say this is what we've done, this is what we're going to do in 2016, so we're not revisiting the same issue a third time. That's all.
Right, and I don't even think the deck at the moment is really part of the conversation because we're looking at a maximum of $25,000, and that seems to cover the railings and the posts and all the on all of that. So the deck, I think, is going to be on them anyway. So
that's my point. Let's not talk about it again.
Yeah, all right. So let's not talk about the deck anymore. Okay. So any other comments from the floor?
Anybody? I would just have a comment that the project that was done in the past is the past, and I don't believe it's our responsibility to try and change our decision based on that. But I think going forward, we always have to be accountable, and everything I've seen from what Lee's doing and what their plans are for all of this money is fully accountable. So.
Any other comments before we go for the vote?
I'd just like to say, yeah, I think it's a great project. I think it's wonderful. I think that that deck area, veranda, whatever you want to call it, could change the way that 3rd Street Plaza is used. I think this board had an opportunity to make that part of this, and hopefully we haven't lost that, depending on how the vote goes. But to say that, to play with the money and say that $25,000 here or there, and that's not the point. The point is it's taxpayer money. And we want to make sure that the project that is being done is not a math equation. It's the best project that can be done using taxpayer money, whether that's 50% of the project or 25% of the project or 10% of the project. Taxpayer money is being used, and we want to make sure that's good. This is a wonderful project. You guys have been great stewards of downtown, doing what you've been doing. Keep doing what you're doing. I would love to see that veranda be used in some way, some shape or form, and I think the board had an opportunity to do that tonight.
All right, Mr. Millay.
Yeah, I have an issue with the math myself because unfortunately, your breakout of costs here, your carpentry is all thrown into carpentry. So it's the railing on the back. It's also the railing on the veranda. It's the railing, you know, it's the post. Mm-hmm. Carpentry's carpentry. You've got all the steel of the stairwell that, to me, I still have an issue that that's really an improvement to the facade.
The structural steel are just hold downs for the post.
That's already in.
That's already done. I've already done that.
Is your stairwell going to be wood?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with
it. So it's all going to be built wood, and the steps and all faced with that product, the next one.
Okay, so if I just take the carpentry category of 40,000 and subtract that out, we're dealing with 30,000 for the balance of the project. I don't know if there's a way to bring it back and break this out better. I really support you folks. I mean, you guys have done so well downtown. I just applaud you. I just have problems with this part of this project, you know, the one across the street, 100%, you know. So I don't know how the rest of the board here is, but that number, I'm not sure where you guys came up with a number just to pull out and
it
say.
Says it so. It's in your packet, 71,000, whatever it was.
No.
So.
The one behind that was Nexen, which gave us all the decking, $21,085.46. That's why I subtracted that from the 71,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's got to be labor.
Okay. Yeah, there is a quote
for
there.
For the deck and the railing, the material bid, because that all comes from that specialty company, was 21,000. And the labor to put it in under carpentry is 68,67.
The finished carpentry or the front posts, doing all that and jazzing them up and doing what we're going to do to those when we get all done. The rest is broke out concrete piers.
So
I think the rail on that back deck at least constitutes a facade. Maybe the decking itself doesn't. So we're back to, we're over 50 grand.
Any other questions? I feel that, as I said earlier, that this is really the iconic building, and 3rd Street is going to be where everything's going to happen. And I do feel that everything that you guys better do has got to be first class, and I know it shall be. So I have no problems personally with the $25,000. I think it works. If there's no other discussion, let's call for the vote. So who'd like to create who'd like to make a motion, please?
I'll make a motion, and I'm going to vote yes for this, but I just hope that this veranda does become something that the public can use. Make a motion to use redevelopment funds in the amount of $25,000 for the project specified for 310 South Carson Street, known as the Firkin and Fox / St. Charles Hotel.
Second. Subject to what?
Subject to the required conditions of approval.
Second.
Second. It's in the memo.
Okay, thank you. So who seconded it? I didn't hear. Okay, Mrs. Bagwell, Supervisor Bagwell seconded it. And I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. You have your money.
Thank you.
Go forth and make it look beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Claypool, you are on the docket. Garibaldi's. Grandma Hattie's. Oh, I'm sorry.
Was that the next one? Yes, I'm sorry, Grandma Hattie's. I'm trying to move this along, I guess, John, so.
No problem.
All right, John Herzl, Grandma Hattie's.
John Herzl, Grandma Hattie's. Okay, it's pretty self-explanatory. My sign is antiquated, and it's kind of the blight of the frontage road on the south end of town. As you can see with the signs behind it, all the other businesses have, you know, upgraded to their LED, and that's what I'm trying to do. You can see there's a bit of a change in the modernizing the logo and making it look nice and stand out from the street. You know, based on the what's an eligible improvement, I believe I comply with the requirements of the board here, and I just ask for your vote to approve the project.
So are there any comments and questions?
Will there be any other improvements that you have planned for either the restaurant or any of the landscaping, anything else that you're looking to do along with this project that isn't part of the grant?
The sign is completely landscaped now. We maintain that totally, and that's not going to change. You know, we're not asking for a replacement of the whole pole. It's just to upgrade the fascia of the signage and the interior parts to make it more cost-effective and more energy efficient.
Thank you. Yeah, I read the application. I was more talking about if you're doing any other improvements, like to the restaurant or anything like that, happening similar time frame this year, anything like that.
Well, we constantly upgrade it. We paint it every 2 years. We maintain, you know, last year we redid the whole parking lot, you know, front and back. So, you know, we constantly upgrade depending on what, you know, we can afford and what we do.
Okay, any other concerns, comments? The one that I have, John, and two basically. One is originally, and I wasn't here for the February meeting, this was supposed to be going in facets, and right now we're doing the downtown, not the south end. So that was a concern of mine. Mm-hmm. And the other one is that there's quite a few, and you can see them in here, Motel 6 and the diesel and all that. There's quite a few signs there. If we allocate $20,000 to you, what is there to say that the Motel 6 and the diesel place and others would not come and use all the monies for this facade improvement for that? So,
well, again, based on your thing, it's a first-come, first-served basis. I believe I complied with everything. I gave you three bids. I you know, did everything you asked for to comply, and I believe I complied with everything. You know, because they chose not to come to the board and ask for it, you know, I can't speak for them. So, you know, I think I believe that I'm within my request.
Laurie?
So one of the things for redevelopment is to remember it's to remove a blight. And so the discussion for us is the sign a blight to his building? And I kind of go a little bit with what Garrett said earlier. It's going to be a different answer for each building. And I do think that John has been very responsible and kept his building up. This is a huge expense, and part of the facade program was to help owners want to do something to improve their property. And so I think that's exactly what he used this to do, to say, I can't afford to do this sign that needs to be upgraded. I need to remove the blight, and this is the opportunity I can do it. So I think it met all the conditions of the program, and so for that, I think he's right that he's
complied.
Well,
and what you can't see from this sign, the opposite side now, because of the wind and the what's happened, the part of that side has completely come off, okay? And so that's completely gone, exposing the, you know, old neon, and right now that's where it's at. So coming from the other side, you know, it's even more of a blight than what you see here, so.
For me, this has been the toughest one for me to decide of where to go. If I take away the argument of freestanding sign being a facade or not, let's just throw that out the window. Okay? Throw that out the window. Your street is going to look completely different 5 years from now. That whole South Carson Street is going to be completely different than what it looks like right now. And the frontage road, the lanes out in front of you. Mm-hmm. So I can't in good conscience give public money for something that's not going to be there and be different within 5 years. That and that's going to happen. That's happening.
Well, but again, the sign's going to be there. The sign's going to be in the same place.
It may not be, but it may not be in the same place, though. Well, that's what you don't know. And that's what we don't know without the redesigning of that road. And
but the sign is on my property. That's not part of the interchange or the street or the frontage road.
Right.
Okay, that's you know, within my property, unless the city plans to take my property.
How the road looks is going to be completely different. So you may want the sign on top of your building. You may want it on the other corner of your lot. You may want it on the back of your property, depending on how they do that road. But there's a whole redevelopment project that's coming your way on that south end of town, and I would rather wait till that time to make that happen. I think your sign will last until that time happens, and even on the most liberal definition of a facade, freestanding sign doesn't stay there for me.
Okay, I understand that, but according to eligible improvement, it says all exterior building facade and signage, okay, which it didn't say signage attached to the facade, okay? So that's how I read the application.
You betcha. Okay. And yeah. I for me, signage on the building would be a facade. Anything attached to the building would be facade. The two supervisors in their email, Bonkowski and Aboud, they both clarified that freestanding signs are not part of a facade. Not to say that that's why I have my decision, but that is.
I understand what you're saying. Okay, I'm just basing it on what, you know, what was listed here as an eligible improvement. Okay, was the facade and signage updating. Okay, that's how I took it, and that's how I made the application. Okay?
Craig?
Yes, and Mr. Garrett explained it very well, or I think I got some additional explanation of that whole downtown, that south corridor. Excuse me, my focus is bad tonight because of this cold. But the state is going to turn that street over to us here in 18 months or whatever it is. And I know that the RTC is, I believe anyway, that they've actually already asked for funding to do a study of how we will upgrade that whole corridor down through there. And in my mind, I can envision two lanes each way, the rock planter going away. The city might offer you additional land and all those fronts could maybe move forward. I don't know. And all of a sudden you would want, if it's only two lanes each way, you might want that sign right out closer to the street. And so I think we're ahead of ourselves with this particular project. I looked at what the authors of the program discussed, and there's some other conflicts throughout that we need to go back and revise. But you know, to say, well, we aren't going to do a parking lot, it wasn't written that way, that we weren't going to do a parking lot. So there's some interpretation here, and I think their intent was not to include freestanding signs. But to put that aside, I think that in the future, that this would be an acceptable project if we are going to include freestanding signs when that does get redeveloped, just so we aren't spending city or public dollars that on something that may totally change as well.
Okay.
So just for the record, I want to be clear that freestanding signs were eligible from day one. The packet that was given to us originally and the packet to the Redevelopment Authority included freestanding signs. So I just want to be clear on that. We had an opinion that freestanding signs was included. Whether the argument it could be valid that we're discussing the change in the road and whether this is the right timing for this project, I think that's a good discussion that we're having, because we want your dollars to last too. Right, your half that you're putting in the sign, I want to make sure is going to get you a 20-year Because I think your sign's probably been there, I don't know how long, 20?
40 years. Okay.
If we could get 40 out of the next one, it would be really good. I just want to be clear that Mr. Herzl applied appropriately, met the conditions appropriately, and this discussion should be centered on whether we believe it's the right time based on everything that we're talking about. Because if indeed property opportunities were there for you, would you want to wait to see if you want to move the sign out or move it to a different location?
Well, no, I want the sign to be upgraded now where it's visible with people coming in. Okay, my building sits back far enough from the road now where the first thing they see is my sign. So the intent is to upgrade the sign to make it more visible at this point. Okay, I can't believe that the effect of the road is going to change where the visual aspect of that sign goes based on every other sign in the row. Okay, that's my opinion. But, that's why I applied for this, because I believe, I'm at a point where I need to have help getting that sign upgraded now to make it visible and make my property, a viable thing. That's all.
All right, if I may weigh in on what you just said, Lori, is the example to which you refer, it says that these are the signs to reflect a more residential setting for a neighborhood transition, and it's really not meant to be, what you're talking about. These are neighborhood transition. I'm just looking through here and don't see it. But so I don't know whether that's an argument or not. That's really up to you guys here. Are there any other comments? Chris, do you have anything?
Yeah, just to get a point of clarification, refresh my memory, and Lee, I don't know if you can help with this. The original introduction of the facade improvement program, was the freestanding signs a part of that? Was what Lori was talking about a part of that original packet and information? Because I, for whatever reason, had the impression that facade meant the front visible portion of the attached items on the building.
So the section Commissioner Bagwell is referring to is in the downtown design standards, which were the sign standards included initially. So there was a bit of an evolution of the standards that are in there, because it was initially presented to you as a downtown program only, and through discussion was expanded. So I think as a downtown program only, there are certainly buildings on Curry Street that would have qualified that have freestanding signs similar to that. And I don't recall any specific discussion that as the area was expanded of any specific exclusions of those types of stands. So.
And I agree with that. I don't remember any exclusions either, so I do agree with that. I think probably where we're coming from is I don't think we either thought through or anticipated this kind of thing being applied for. But we did. I do agree that the group wanted to be able to say, hey, look, the entire redevelopment area should be accessible to this kind of funding. So I agree with that.
So explain what you just said.
So I guess what I'm saying is that thank you. We are looking at an improvement which we discussed as a committee being applicable to all redevelopment areas. So this would be, in terms of the areas, it would be an applicable project. I think where the confusion was that we either didn't have time or we didn't exclude anything like a freestanding, and I believe this is called a freestanding monument sign, from those requirements when we discussed it. I think we all had probably, I know I had a vision in my mind of just the building, but.
So just a point of clarification on going back to that, because Ronnie left me to run that meeting, thank you. And Johnny, you've done everything right. You've submitted the application correctly. You're, and as a matter of fact, you're pressing us to have the conversation that we should have. Initially, this program was for downtown, and downtown signage is a residential sign. There's one lighted sign in downtown that I know of that is not on the building, and that's across from my residence on William Street, the Allstate sign. That's the only one that I know of. It's not on the building itself or within 10 feet. Okay. Well, anyways, as far as that kind of sign goes, you have 3 or 4 blocks, and maybe it's 10 feet out from there, and it sits in the lawn. different than the freestanding sign. But more importantly, back to that original discussion, this was only about the downtown, and for whatever reasons, you know, I don't know those reasons, it was opened up to the south end of town. And frankly, that shouldn't have been done yet, because there's too much stuff that we don't know what the south end of town in that redevelopment district is going to look like. And because of that, someone's time got wasted. And for that, I apologize to you, John.
All right. Any further comments? Okay, opening this up to the public, please. Any public comments? Okay, so someone would like to make a motion?
I'd like to make the motion that the $20,000 be granted to 2811 South Carson Street pursuant to the staff requirements.
Second. Okay, we have a second. All in favor? Okay, John, go ahead. Oh, all opposed?
Aye. Nay. Nay.
And John, I don't think that this is anything. I think we, just like you, were given a task that we thought was for actual facades and to be in the downtown core. And I think it was just sort of, as Garrett said, it was just sort of brought in that it was in the South Corridor as well, and that will be coming forth. So right now I think the policy is, or what the thought is that we want to make the downtown as best as it could possibly be. So.
Well, I think the thing is to make the whole town as best as possible, not just the downtown.
It is.
For years, right, everything's been focused on downtown, and nothing has been focused, you know. Okay, well, that may be true, but I just, you know, want it on the record that, you know, I've been here 30 years, and everything's focused on downtown. Nothing gets focused on the perimeter. So, you know, that's
the only good. The only thing is I can say, tell you, is that according to the redevelopment monies spent, about two-thirds of the monies has been spent in the South Corridor. So there's been quite a bit of money spent down there. Go
okay.
ahead.
No, that's fine. I understand what you're saying. Okay.
So for the record, so on this case, I want to point out at this time that per the policy, decisions of the RAC may be appealed to the Redevelopment Authority if done so within 7 days of this meeting. I was going to get, and I'll give you my card. Make sure you grab my card before you leave. I know you have my contact information, so for the record. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Herzl. Okay. Without further ado, let us go to Garibaldi's, represented by Mark Claypool. Are you still here, huh, Mark?
Go ahead and start.
Okay. For the record, my name is Darren Berger. I'm an architect here in town. Mark Claypool is my client, and we fit into the category where Mark is the tenant and Tom Johnson is the building owner. So, so our project involves redoing the storefront, adding some lighting, putting in a new canopy, and some paint.
Relocation of the front door, most likely a service door, a second door for a storm door. I live with every season of the year comes in my front door. I want to improve my windows so I can have the outside come in, and probably put retractable awning so we can do outdoor dining if the city's going to allow that. So to try to use this improvement to the city as a new step up for Garibaldi's.
Yep. One of the things we're trying to respond to is he's on that prevailing wind side, that wind eddy kicks in there and swirls around. He's got a pile of leaves in his front door. The other aspect, too, is that late afternoon sun through that old plate glass, which is unsafe, we'll replace that with a low-E glass that's tempered.
All right. Anybody have any comments or questions?
Yeah, so today, now today, the Garibaldi's logo monogram is on the awning. In the new planned development, how is the sign going to be incorporated, or is there going to be?
I hadn't really thought about that too hard, because this project has been changed in my head so many times over the last couple of years, and I think I finally laid out what I think is best for that building, and not just best for what I want to do, but I think it'll be great for years to come for other operators after me. But I'll lengthen that awning, and I want to do a color theme change on it, maybe more to like reds and blacks, some white in it, and backlight it so it has backlighting, and then the wind retractable will go underneath it. That would be on a wind meter, so if it opens and there's an emergency where it has to come up, it comes off back in, you know. So what we thought is we're only getting 12 feet of sidewalk because I have parking in front of me. So it's not a big sidewalk in front of me anyway, so it's not a lot. I'm trying to bring the outside in without bugs and everything else, and I like the idea of windows that can open. And even the awning would still be a good feature for people just sitting out there, because I've thought about a pass-through window for like Saturday mornings, beverages, some sort of light breakfast out there. So that's kind of where I've gone with the whole project.
Yeah, and I think all of those are great ideas, and I can just imagine the process you've been going through over the years or whatnot to come with. I guess I'm still a little confused. Is the sign going to be incorporated in the way you're improving the front?
I was
going to
just probably improve the awning.
Just the awning? Okay.
Yeah, I'll lengthen it to the size of the actual footprint of the building.
Okay.
And then,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tell me more about that awning, the retractable part of it. That's what I don't understand, is retractable.
Like a sunsetter type awning, you know, like you see on TV. Like motorhomes have on them, but made for commercial use.
Two separate awnings?
Yeah, because the awnings are only yay big. They just come out straight.
Okay. And then the other one's going to sit below that and come out at an angle kind of down?
No, this awning will sit above it.
Okay.
So it'll just cantilever out, yeah.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, public comment. Any public comment on this particular... No? Okay. So if there's hearing no comments from the public and hearing no further from the commission here, I will entertain a motion.
What's the property address?
307 North Carson.
Oh, the app, it's 307?
307.
Not one. The app says one.
301 is my old location.
307.
Okay, who will make the motion, please?
Well, I'll make the motion. I move to approve $21,076 in redevelopment facade improvement grant funding to 307 North Carson Street, Garibaldi's restaurant currently, subject to the required conditions of approval in the staff memo from the facade improvement program.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Opposed? None, hearing none. You're welcome.
Thank you.
We can't wait to see the new place.
Thank you. Me either.
Okay, finally. And this is the smallest amount. We should just give it to you because you waited for so long here. So anyway,
feel kind of marginal at this point after seeing all these nice proposals.
Yes. So go ahead and tell us about what you want to do with the Westside Poorhouse.
Yeah, for the record, I'm Dan Shaheen, part owner of Westside Poorhouse. We've had the bar now for about three and a half years, and we've had a lot of comments over the years about the backside on Curry Street and how dark it is, and how people, maybe it's more the out-of-town folks, the tourists, have sort of passed us by because they didn't know we were there. And so we thought it would be a great idea since we've owned it, we thought it would be a great idea to have a sign on Curry Street. Help light it. You can see we've, you know, we prefer to have a neon tube to kind of stay in line with our kind neighbors at the old Globe. So it's just, you know, fairly simple proposal. Just, we think it would be great for Telegraph Square. We like the idea of having some more light back there and just kind of a cool sign.
All right. I know you just want to capture all those people for Nevada Day, don't you?
Well, that would be nice, yeah, if we could have every last one of them.
Any comments, questions?
Dan, I, this is a facade sign that I can get behind. One thing I'll just mention to you, I just thrown an idea out there, has nothing to do with this. What the brewery did at their place with the garage doors, I think would be really cool in the back of your building.
There are a lot of things that I think would be really cool at that building. We're a tenant in the building. There's that. Jones Trust owns that whole corner, and there are many things we've suggested to the landlord that we think would be great back there, and who knows, maybe someday. So I appreciate that.
All right, thank you very much. Any other comments? Do you, Chris, nothing? Lori? Nobody else? Okay, so I will entertain them. Oh, public comment? Any public comment? I mean, this is almost like...
Anticlimactic projects. But I think it would be great back there, really. It is very dark. If anybody goes back there at night, I just think it would be good.
Well, look at it from a public safety point of view then, so.
Well, and there are times a year, like you say, there's those Nevada days and those events that happen in Telegraph Square. I think it's a good addition.
Okay, so hearing no public comments and no further comments from the commissioners here, I will entertain a motion.
Okay. I move to approve $2,045 in redevelopment facade improvement grant funding to 110 West Telegraph Street, subject to the required conditions of approval in the staff memo.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. All opposed? Anyone opposed? Not? You've got your, what is it, 2,000, whatever it is. So I can't even say the little number here.
Thank you so very much.
We
appreciate
Thank you. Can't wait to see the sign. Okay. I think we've done with that particular section of 5.2 tonight. So let's go on to... Yes, there's more, she says. This is for discussion only. Number six, staff reports and update on matters relating to the RAC.
Thank you. I don't have any items to report other than that the next meeting will be August 1st. That's a regularly scheduled meeting. I know we've talked about, I'll have to go back and look at some past meetings. I know we've talked about getting some things on the agenda. I'll work with the chairperson and to identify some, and I would anticipate having at least a couple more facade improvement applications on the agenda for that. That's all I have.
Okay, B, future agenda items. I do have one that I would like to have you consider, and that is I've been getting complaints about the Blue Line, that I know that parts of it have been resurfaced. However, there's been new sidewalks and things going in, and there's not a consistency with the Blue Line, so I'd like to be talking about the Blue Line revitalization as it would relate to funding from this committee in the future, because that is part of the downtown project. So that is just something I'd like for consideration. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to see on the agenda?
I'm a little concerned. Park and Rec wouldn't be... I mean, we're only talking like a gallon of paint.
No, you're not. You're talking no stripers. It's not. It has to look professional, and it is in the downtown core, and there's a lot of sidewalk and road improvement right now, and that is like our number one attraction. So I think between now and then we will get some pricing of what it would call. It's public service or public works who does this, okay? And then the other thing I think that I'd like to see on the agenda, pending all of your, is maybe revisiting the loan program for those who cannot afford the matching. So maybe there's something we can do with this. I don't know. So if that is something we can do. Lee, I would like to see that. Does anybody else have any agenda items?
I would like to see us discuss the loan program.
I wouldn't mind having that discussion about it.
Okay, so the RAC member reports and comments. Does anybody have any comments at all? The only comment that I have is I thank all of you. This has been arduous. I mean, really arduous, because I don't think we fully understood, you know, how important this is to the city. And also that for the first time in a long time, we have really had decision making, which sort of sticks, although, I mean, somebody can go back to the board and protest. But for the most part, I just want to thank you all. I know it's been a lot of work and a lot of understanding of new processes. So thank you very much for your time. So without further ado, public comments. Public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee, including any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda item, on the agenda as an action item. So, oh, all right. I was so into my reading here. Sorry.
Chris Carver again for the record. And I would just like to make a suggestion. This isn't a proposal, but just an idea that I would like you guys to consider. The Horseshoe Club on Carson Street has fallen into disrepair. It's growing worse by the day. And I was down there a couple weeks ago and took some photographs. I was down there today. And there are elements that, of this building that are now exposed to the weather. We know that the property is for sale. I would like this council to consider proposing to the Redevelopment Authority to back a nonprofit, to solicit support from a nonprofit to make some effort to try to approach the owner here and have the city support the nonprofit purchase of this property and maybe turn it into an art gallery or a mixed-use property with art as the main core and then maybe food, but pedestrian-involved activity, not that the city owns it, that the nonprofit owns it with our support. If we do not act soon on this property, especially before winter hits, we're going to have another piece of blight on our very expensive Main Street. So that's basically the sum total of what my suggestion is. I have some ideas on how to get it done. I'm certain that the nonprofits that are involved in arts and culture have some better ideas, but we need to move quickly before winter sets in and this place becomes a target for destruction instead of redevelopment.
Thank you, Mr. Carver. So any other further comments from the public? Seeing and hearing none, I will call for a vote to adjourn. So someone make the motion, please.
Make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second?
Don't need one.
Okay. Vote? Or no. All right. We are adjourned at 7:30, and it's an hour before I thought we were. So that's cool. Thank you. Thank you all.